And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus, 1:09 in the afternoon on this rainy, rainy Thursday, at least for part of us. Most of this is along and south of 94 corridor, but there's been some steady rain most of the morning into the early afternoon from Barnesville down through Christine and Colfax and down towards Milner. So we're looking at some steadier rain to the south. Even that is only producing anywhere between a tenth of an inch and two-tenths of an inch, which, I mean, hey, we'll take what we can get. We'll see less than probably five-hundredths of an inch here in the FM area, so not much. But the further east and south you go, and even southwest of the FM area, some areas picked up a little bit more. And Bridget, I don't know where you're at. I see you're... you're in your vehicle somewhere, so who knows? I mean, you could be anywhere, but are you seeing rain where you're at?
I am. I actually am in South Dakota, just over the state line, and it is raining down here. So I don't know how long that's going to last, and I'm not sure that it's been a lot. It's been sort of a slow drizzly. It's enough to mess up the pickup windows and skew my view slightly. Right. But overall, it's been pretty good.
Yeah, most of this should exit the area as we head towards evening. So again, not looking at a lot. But what we are looking at is what appears to be a pattern change by the end of the month and into that first part of November, which, I mean, that's not a guarantee that's going to bring us more precip, but at least the storm systems are going to be there. They might be just south of us. They might be north of us. We might just not get a thing out of it. But the chances of precip are looking a little better at the end of the month and into that first part of November. So that's good news there. I know there's still harvest going on, as we've been talking about, but we desperately need the rain.
Yeah, harvest is going on. I think folks are going to be happy to shut down a little bit and take this opportunity to get some moisture. They're going to be okay with that. And when you have this long, steady run of people being in the field, they get to a point where they're just tired. They need a day for repairs. Go home and do your laundry. Pick up some groceries so you can pack lunch. I mean, there's some days you just need to pick up and recharge.
Right.
And so this will be good for those who are not done combining. I would venture a guess corn combining across the state, we're likely at 70%. I mean, we have a lot of producers who are even done at this point.
Well, I was talking.
Go
ahead.
Cannot emphasize safety enough. Yesterday, returning from Lake Park, Minnesota, I had a sugar beet truck that he and I had a close call. Thankfully, due to paying attention, that didn't happen. But whether you're in a passenger vehicle or in a truck, you just got to be safe and pay close attention to what's going on around you all the time.
They're you know, many of our in our ag community, they're tired from harvest, and you know, all it takes
and
is
some
a
of us,
split second. You know,
yeah, some of us are tired. We're on the road, but
right?
That doesn't mean we can let our guard down, especially on secondary two lane highways.
Yeah. Well, I was talking with Gary Lezak, the founder of the LRC, and we were chatting about how, you know, there's people in our ag community and just people in general kind of worried about the you know, droughts are either expanding or contracting, and this one we've got has been expanding here over the last 2 to 3 months. And Gary said these next 2 to 3 weeks are crucial for what we're going to have in store for the rest of the winter and into the spring and summer. We definitely do not want to continue with the drier than normal conditions, because that will absolutely bleed into the spring and summer. So the last thing we really want to see. And like I said, we're starting to see signs of a pattern change. Let's hope it's not temporary. Let's hope this lasts for a little bit. So we'll see next week. Next week, we've got a couple of storms we'll be watching. And if they both miss us, if we dodge a bullet on both of those, that's not good news, because the storm track then may be setting up to our south for most of the winter, kind of south and southeast of us. So let's hope not.
You know, you made mention yesterday of the possibility of a slightly less snowy winter. Still think that's the case?
Again, I think these next 2 to 3 weeks are really going to tell the tale. If it stays like it has been, then yes. Now, will it be as of a snow drought as last winter? Highly unlikely. Highly unlikely.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it could happen. We'll leave that on the table. It could happen. But
okay.
A lot of things would have to come together for a repeat of last year, and we don't want that.
Well, and we would like to take on some moisture right now. And that doesn't mean that we won't get moisture in the spring, because if you think about what this year did, all of a sudden we picked up a pile of spring rain that really made some changes in what we were normally going to see for the spring. So yeah, that put us way later into planting. Now we've had a long fall that's been really useful for us, but overall we were lucky that we balanced it out. We'll see what it looks like though, if we get, you know, not much snow, but more spring rain.
Right. Right. And like Gary said, he said there might be one, like the first cycle, let's say all these storms miss us either north or south. Cycle two, depending on other things in the atmosphere, those same storms will be in our area, but they may be adjusted either north or south. So, I mean, if the storms are close to us in each cycle, then we, you know, at least they're there, and we have to keep a close eye on other things in the atmosphere that would allow those to move in one direction or the other. So at least the storms are appearing, but they've just missed our area, it seems like, every time. So there's hope. Yeah.
Just remember what happens when my travel schedule
That's exactly where I was going to go there. And, well, we've got a little ways for that. Maybe another few weeks before you have to worry about snow. But we've got a guest coming up. In fact, he's never been on with us before. Don Kinsler. He's a new guest.
Before we even get to Don, I realized we needed to get our call in to our FFA member who's down in Indianapolis. So, Addison, did you get our FFA member on the line?
Addison said he cannot get a hold of her.
Okay, he'll probably keep trying. So yeah. I'll work on that with Addison.
Okay.
But yes, regarding that new guest who's never been here, hi, Don Kinsler.
It is great to be here. Always great to be here.
Oh, awesome. Well, we really appreciate the fact that you take the time out for us, Don.
Always. And, you know, gardening and weather go together like hand in a glove. You know, if there is anything that I watch more closely or are tuned in, it's weather. Because so much of the gardening that we do, mm-hmm. you know, it's a crop like others, and we're weather dependent, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And if you have any questions for Don, 701-293-9000. Again, that's 701-293-9000, our Red Wing Shoe hotline. Right now, we've got to take care of American Ag Network, but don't go anywhere. And again, if you have any questions for Don, 701-293-9000. We'll be right back.
Oh, and welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. We are so glad that you are joining us. And we have a quick little hit here with one of our favorite things to do, and that's to talk to FFA members who happen to be at National FFA Convention down in Indianapolis. And Emily Singer is joining us. She's with the Rolla FFA chapter. Emily, I apologize. We were a little bit late in connecting today, but how are things for you down at Indianapolis?
Hi, you're all good. Don't worry about it. Yeah, things are going great right now. It's a really great opportunity to get to see everyone and meet a lot of new people. So,
Emily, you're down there to receive a 3-star national chapter award. What does that mean for the Rolla FFA chapter?
So it's a huge honor. We are currently the only 3-star chapter in North Dakota. So we are very, very excited to get to receive this award. And I think it just really shows a lot of our skill level and the time that we put into our activities and the amount of time that we put into our chapter and to the people in our chapter and our community.
Can you tell me just a little bit about what are some of the things that you did as part of your project to get the national award?
Yeah, so one of our activities that we did was living on a budget. And what this did is we took our chapter to the closest Walmart near us, and each group got only $50 to spend, and this activity was supposed to teach us a little bit about what it's like to live maybe in a low-income household and how to pay for some of those items and how to essentially live on this budget and still make sure that you are getting proper nutrients and proper hygiene products. And then all those products that we bought actually went back to our local or to our school food pantry.
So, Emily, have you been given your award yet? Have you walked across the national stage?
We have not yet. We are still currently waiting for it.
So what have you done to fill your time while you're in Indianapolis?
Well, we've only been in Indianapolis for about a day, but we have gotten to go to the Megan Maroney concert, and we have walked around and met other chapters in other states.
How big is the career fair when you go to see that?
The career fair is huge, and you're constantly bumping into people. There's no personal space. There's lots of great...
So, there's a lot there.
There is a lot. A lot of career opportunities, a lot of great colleges here, and a lot of great organizations that help support the egg industries.
So last question for you, Emily. What year in school are you, and what other things do you compete in for the FFA?
Sure. So I'm a junior in high school, and in FFA, I do public speaking events such as demonstration or career investigation, and I do some career developments like land judging or floriculture, foods, and dairy products. And yeah, that's about all I do.
Just a majority of them. So, Emily, thank you for taking the time to join us today to share what's going on at National Convention. And good luck to you and the rest of your chapter members as you guys enjoy convention this week.
Thank you.
Well, Don and Dean, it's great fun when we get to hear how kids are doing at convention.
You know what amazes? She said she was a junior, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Well spoken for a junior. And I mean, just incredible. That gives hope for our youth.
It really does.
Wow.
And Don, she's in floriculture. That's kind of right after your own heart, pretty close anyway.
That is awesome.
So, Don, let's start out with, we're in fall season right now, obviously, and it has been dry, and record dry over September, and now we're almost done with October. What should we do? I mean, there's cracks in the lawn, there's cracks along the household. What about fall watering?
On the way here, I was going to swing by our house to our vegetable garden to take a photo of those cracks, because I'm not prone to exaggerating. I don't think I've ever seen the cracks quite that dramatic as they are. You know, because we went from squishy wet to dry and hard soil, especially our clay soils. And I didn't have a chance to swing by there. But anyway, you bring up the very important point of fall watering. Okay, so we've got lots of cracks, lots of dry soil, and our trees, shrubs, and perennial flowers need to become hydrated going into winter, because the twigs and buds and roots need moisture. They need to absorb moisture yet this fall before the soil freezes. And it's been shown that a well-hydrated plant, tree, shrub, perennial, will survive winter better, because there's a lot of drying that goes on in winter. Those trees, shrubs are exposed to the wind, the howling winter winds. They can dry out and desiccate, which can cause damage, death to tissue. And so very important that we've got this window of opportunity. You know, typically in our area, the soil will freeze down so that I can't get a shovel into it sometime the first half of November. Mm-hmm. Maybe this year it'll be more towards the middle of November, maybe. But at a certain point, you just can't water anymore, or your hoses are freezing up. So anyway, we've got this window of opportunity. So the key is a slow soak on trees, shrubs. Now, great big huge shade trees, they can fend for themselves. But we're talking especially, your landscape shrubs, they really need it. Any trees that are maybe, less than 10 years old could really use it. Perennial flowers as well. So this slow soak that we're talking about, our soil and the mass of soil around these plants is so dry, a little bit of watering around the base isn't going to do it. For example, let's talk about a tree. You know, a relatively young tree that you planted within the last couple of years. Okay, a 5-gallon bucket poured at the base isn't going to do it. Because think of all the dryness around it. Mm-hmm. So a little bit dribbled around the base of the tree trunk isn't going to hydrate those roots. So I like to think in terms of a 5-gallon bucket. You know, I love the invention of the 5-gallon bucket. Okay, so most trees, younger type trees, a 5-gallon bucket of water isn't going to do it. Think more in terms of 15 gallons, 20 gallons, easily, slowly pour it around. You know, I gave a webinar about things to do in fall a couple of weeks ago, and one of the webinar attendees gave a wonderful idea, and I'm doing this now. What he does is he got several 5-gallon buckets and drilled a couple of holes in the bottom. So around a tree or shrub or perennials, he fills these 5-gallon buckets. So around a young tree, you know, and most of us have some 5-gallon buckets, maybe some old ones you don't mind drilling holes, maybe quarter-inch hole, only 2 or 3 holes in the bottom. And so he fills those up around the younger tree and then slowly lets those fill in. Now, it's interesting. We as humans are impatient. Now, I found if I'm just holding the hose at the base of a tree, I tend not to give it enough. For example, sometimes I actually counted how many seconds does it take to fill a 5-gallon bucket? And I have to go 1,001, 1,002, all the way up to 1,050, because I tended to move on too fast. So all the way up to 1,050 to get that 5-gallon bucket. So my point being, if I have a 5-gallon bucket there, it forces me to fill it up. And again, get a goodly amount. Now, okay, if you don't want to use the 5-gallon bucket to kind of measure, get enough on, soaker hoses, you know, kind of snaked around. And again, not just around the trunk of the tree, but out beyond the drip line, out beyond the canopy level, because the roots are out there, not just around the trunk. So we need to hydrate out away, at least the drip line or a little beyond, and let that water slowly soak. And maybe do a little one day, a little the next day, because sometimes it takes a while to fill those cracks up. Because sometimes when I water, it all goes down the crack, you know, and the I don't know, somebody in China has benefit from my water. but you need, sometimes you need to slowly get that soil hydrated, then maybe come back in a day or two. And we should maybe do this at least a couple of times before the soil actually freezes. We don't need to be watering, you know, daily, but, you know, over the course of the next several weeks, you know, try to get things hydrated. And I can't emphasize this enough, because we don't want to all of a sudden next spring find a bunch of dead stuff because we didn't hydrate. Especially important with evergreens. Evergreen trees with their needles tend to lose quite a bit of moisture over winter.
Now, obviously, you probably want to avoid watering on windy days, because a lot of that's just going to evaporate right back out.
Sure.
So, in all, are you talking like over a 2-week span, like a half inch to an inch of moisture, or?
Yes, I think if you were to put a sprinkler out, and you know, maybe some areas, like if you have a perennial flower bed, or maybe it's your strawberry bed, that a sprinkler might be more effective, you know, than a 5-gallon bucket.
Right.
And so generally we'd be looking at least an inch, you know, to get down in. I'd say at least an inch. Could probably even use 2 inches. But I'd say an inch would be a good benchmark. And what I like to do to measure an inch, because everybody's lawn sprinklers are different, a tuna can or a soup can. A tuna can is approximately 1 inch deep. And so when your sprinkler has filled up the tuna can, you know you've applied an inch. And, of course, it depends on soil type. But it takes an inch of moisture to really penetrate down very far into the soil. So I think we should maybe set an inch at least a minimum there. A soup can would probably work too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Don, we're at the bottom of the hour, so we've got to pay some bills, or else Bridget and I aren't going to get a paycheck come next week. So when we come back, we'll talk more with Don about late planting this season. We're going to touch on dormant grass seeding and weed control as well.
It's a busy time of year, actually.
It is a very busy time of year.
It is.
It is.
Yeah. If you have any questions for Don, again, give us a call, 701-293-9000. That's a Red Wing Shoes hotline. Or you can email us at weather@flagfamily.com. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
There's a party. Here's Bridget in her blender. Glad she could make it.
And welcome back to Bridget's Blender and Weather and Ag in Focus. 1:36 in the afternoon. Our special guest today, Don Kinsler. If you have any questions for Don, again, 701-293-9000. And or you can just text Bridget on her personal cell phone, and she'll relay that question along to us. So got an email question, Don. Christy said her two hostas are so overgrown that they are damaging her other, like her other perennials, that they're just not getting enough sunlight. So there was one that is turning yellow, looks like it's dying. She was going to just dig that up and get rid of it and then trim the other two, cut them in half. Is it okay to replant those now in the fall?
Well, the best time to do that with hostas, and each of the perennial types has kind of their certain season, you know, some in the spring, some in the fall.
Right.
Hosta are best done, that operation you described, that's best done in the spring just as the new growth is starting to come out. That's the time with the best success rate.
Okay.
But sometimes we can push things a little bit. Now, if this was your grandmother's hosta and you have the only one, I'd wait until next spring.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Okay. But, you know, we don't know what the winter's going to do. Okay. So there's a little more risk doing this operation now. If it was mine and I had plenty of other hostas, I'd go ahead and dig and move it now. It's a little more risk. You know, if we have a severe winter, there's a chance of freeze back. You know, because something like that done, dug up, replanted now, it doesn't have a whole lot of time to root in and establish before winter hits it. And, for example, things that we do move in the fall, such as peonies, are best done around Labor Day. So they have all of September and most of October to kind of establish themselves. So things done kind of this late in the season, it's a little more iffy. Mm-hmm. But if you don't mind that risk, then go ahead. If you're afraid you might not get it in the spring. But again, if it was an heirloom, I'd wait until spring.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect.
You do bring up the good point, though, about, okay, what if there's some emergency things? For example, I got an email from someone who had ordered a peony, which are usually planted in the fall, mm-hmm. Labor Day. I'd gotten an email from someone and said they ordered a mail order and it just came. Is it okay to plant it? Yes, definitely. Go ahead, plant it. She wondered, is it better maybe to winter it in the garage or something like that? But, you know, garages, they're warm, they're cold, they're freezing. You're opening the doors, mm-hmm. blast of 30 below air. And so plants that you have, you know, maybe it's a shrub you bought at a garden center on sale and you just haven't gotten around to it. Yes, go ahead, plant it now. All of those things are better in the ground planted, water them in really well, maybe put a mulch of leaves, straw, wood chips around mm-hmm. it just to kind of, you know, get some insulation on it, and much better in the ground than to try to do some sort of artificial overwintering. And so as long as you can get a shovel in the ground, that also reminds me, though, you know, maybe you're waiting on that plant to come. You know, maybe it was a nursery out of Tennessee, and they think we don't freeze down until December. So maybe that mail order nursery hasn't shipped it yet. Well, what we can do is put a foot or two of straw or leaves on that area you want to plant it. That will keep the soil from cooling down. It'll keep frost from penetrating. So when you do receive that plant, then brush aside the mulch, plant it, put the mulch back on. It'll give you some time, and then remove the mulch next spring. So there are some things we can do to kind of, but by all means, go ahead. If you've got a plant, go ahead and plant it. It's better in the ground.
Okay.
Don and I have talked about my begonia that I brought in that's in a pot.
How is it doing?
It's a bit of an experiment. Well, it looks really good, but we know that it's one that generally doesn't do well in a pot all winter long. So it's my experiment, Don. When we talk again in January, I'll let you know if he's living or dying.
Yeah, do keep us posted, because many things like geraniums, my gosh, they can be brought in, wintered beautifully, and then returned out next spring again. And, you know, I mentioned this time is a busy time of year. Another common question is, what about grass seeding? We've heard that fall is a good time, and fall is a good time for grass seeding, but the recommended cutoff date is September 15th. If seeded by then, the grass will establish, it'll sprout, it'll germinate, it'll establish, and it'll survive winter fine.
So we're past that.
We're past that, and right now our soil is still warm. If you seeded grass today, it could very well sprout but not be established enough to go into winter. It'd probably winter kill. But we have an alternative, and that's called dormant seeding. And dormant seeding means that the soil temperature cools down to a point where the grass seed will not sprout. Mm-hmm. And grass seed sprouts at around 50 degrees soil temperature. So we need to get way below that, because we don't want this to sprout when
we're
plant
48
it.
Right now.
Exactly. We need to get it fairly cold.
Right.
You know, kind of right above the freezing point. And so the old timers always said, well, you spread that grass seed for dormant seeding right before the snow flies. You know, if you're expecting a blizzard in sometime in November, early December, that's when you plant that seed. And of course, that gives it a good cover, holds it in place so it's not blowing in open soil. And so dormant seeding can be very effective. So you do it as late as possible, scratch it into the soil surface. Grass seed is kind of unique in that you know you've seeded it right if you can see most of it on the soil surface. It doesn't get buried down in like standard seed does. And so that's why you want to do it right before it's going to get some cover. After you do seed it, scratch it into the soil with a rake, maybe water it if your water hoses are still thawed out. Give it some water, some moisture. You know, the other thing I was thinking about as I mentioned watering here too, whether it's dormant seed or watering trees, shrubs, you know, cold temperature penetrates much deeper in dry soil than it does in wet soil. And so that's another good case for getting things hydrated, because not only will it energize those plants, hydrate them, but also it tends to prevent the cold temperature from going as deeply down into the root system of those. So good reasons, whether it's dormant seeding or all of your plants, to get some moisture down into that root, into the soil.
Okay. All right. And
I'm just thinking about that insulating factor of moisture. And what a difference that could make,
you know,
if we got some rain.
Yeah, I just think with some of the big cracks that I've got in the area, you know, I can just see 30 below, you know, if we don't get snow, 30 below temperatures just filtering down into those cracks. You know, and the winters that we have the most severe plant injury, trees, shrubs, perennials, are what's called open winters. You know, when we do not get that insulating snow and we get just frigid cold temperatures that go deeply into that unprotected snow. You know, somewhere in the back of my mind, I have the R factor of snow, but I don't remember what it is, you know, but a certain, you know, 6 inches of snow has a certain R factor of insulation. And so, you know, even 6 inches of snow greatly modifies that soil temperature going down in. So, We gardeners never want an open winter. I mean, it's delightful that I didn't have to use my snowblower. And last year, you know, temperatures were moderate. But if we get no snow and, you know, 35 below zero, you know, that can cause a lot of damage.
Oh, yeah. Now, I'm assuming it's okay to trim up any, you know, bushes. It's okay to trim those up in the fall.
No.
Get them. It's not okay.
No.
Well, I'm glad
how's
I asked.
That for, how's
okay,
that for
okay
a
so day? We should wait until spring for that.
We should. Okay.
Okay.
Here's why. You know, the plants are slowing down. Plants are smart. They know the day length is getting short. They're getting ready for winter. They're losing their leaves. And cell division slows and eventually stops. So pruning cuts made now, there aren't the cells to divide and seal over those pruning cuts, so they remain open during winter time. And so they're open to losing moisture, you know, desiccating, and there's more chance of dieback. So there's no advantage to pruning in the fall. You know, if your shrub is hanging over the sidewalk and going to get tangled up in the snowblower, well then, yeah, absolutely,
sure,
trim it. But there's more chance of something going wrong, such as winter dieback. Now, don't panic if you've already done some pruning. It doesn't mean it's automatically going to die, but there's not a reason for, there's not an advantage to fall pruning, and there's a more of a risk of something going wrong. So the best time to prune is right before spring, when things are still dormant, but before they wake up for spring. Now, I should mention, though, you know, the commercial tree people and the city tree trimmers, they can't do all of that trimming right before spring.
Right.
I mean, they've got too many trees. But what they're trimming are big, old, tough, established elms and ash and lindens and hackberries. You know, they aren't trimming the things that we're trimming in our home yard. And so that's why, just to reduce the risk of something going wrong, we'll wait till spring. Okay. So how was that for a direct no?
No, I liked it. It was firm. I'm like, well, I guess Dean was wrong on that one. That's for sure.
No, that is a
put
really
down
common
the shears,
question because
Dean.
We
yeah, right.
That's a common question because for some reason we've looked at the things and they look like they need trimming, and just fall seems like a time to kind of get it done. So that's a common question.
And that goes back to our email earlier that Christy was asking because she was going to do some pruning, so she should probably wait until springtime and don't worry about what it looks like right now.
Right. You know, another common question is, you know, if we've got a younger type tree and it's got lower branches and it's been whacking you in the head every time you mow around it, you know, common question this time of year is, gosh, should I just prune that off? But again, wait till next spring on it.
Right, right. Okay.
You know, other types of things, we need to remember, too, on our apple trees and other fruit trees, apples, plums, pear, we need to make sure that we're wrapping those trunks of the year. So while the weather is somewhat decent here, because I've been out doing this when the weather is frigid, wrapping the trees. And
right.
So, well, it's somewhat pleasant for us. Wrap the trunks of trees for a couple of reasons. When rabbits and deer run out of greenery, you know, when things get covered with snow and they're running out of greenery, they tend to move to some of our things like our fruit trees, which have sweet bark. And so wrapping helps prevent animal damage.
Okay.
And also it prevents winter sun damage, sun scald to those trees.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And we've got a caller on line one. Renee, you've got a question for Don. What's your question?
Yeah, should you be cutting down your raspberry canes or leaving them on until next spring?
Well, now, you're mentioning that brings up kind of a little exception to the pruning rule.
There's always the exception, isn't there?
Well, of course. Now, raspberries are interesting in that the most common raspberry types produce fruit on canes that are 2-year-old and then those die. So, and the 2-year-old canes that bore fruit and they're just going to die are usually kind of brown and easily distinguishable. Raspberry canes grow 1 year over winter and then bear fruit the second year. And so in a raspberry patch at any one time, you usually have the greener, first-year canes, and you have the older 2-year canes that bore fruit, and those are going to die. So this is actually a pretty good time of year to identify those that did bear fruit and cut them off at ground level. So it's the type of thing that usually when you're actually out there looking at them, you say, oh, I see, yeah, these are kind of old and brown and almost blackish, and those need to come out. Does that help?
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, but now is a good time
Thank
to identify
you.
That. They may as well be, since they're going to be dead anyway, remove them now versus waiting till spring.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Thank
Renee.
You.
Great question. So there are exceptions to the rule.
Always.
There always is. And, you know, Bridget, I was talking with Don behind the scenes, and we were kind of talking about the LRC, and he goes, you know, we've always believed there's cycling to the garden as well.
You know, I was happy. I don't know, how many years have you been doing the LRC?
4 years.
Four years. Okay.
4 years, huh?
And when that came out and you started talking about that, I nodded my head in assurance, because I've noticed, and not just me, I've been passed along to these cycles in gardening. And so some old time gardening wisdom, I love it. Okay, for example, oh, gosh, I don't know, 40, 45 years ago. And this was an extension horticulturist, but he also was a very good practical man. So in garden, he said, okay, now watch. When we get a frost in spring, such as early May, okay,
mm-hmm.
And, of course, in spring, we're always watching for that, those spring frosts, so we know when to plant, when is it safe to plant, et cetera. Okay, so he said, okay, watch that frost, maybe early May, and he said, in 10 days after that, there will be another chance of frost. And I've just always watched that. It doesn't mean that 10 days later you're going to have a frost. But
right.
If you have a frost, oftentimes it's 10 days after that. So, for example, if we have a frost May 1st, then I watch May 10th, and oftentimes it'll be a frost. If we don't have a frost, and then I look for 10 days beyond that, and so anyway, I kind of watch my gardening a little bit, and that's just a little mini cycle.
Right.
And so, I've been a firm believer that these cycles are, you know, do have merit to
yeah.
them. And another one I get kind of a kick out of that the old gardeners have said, well, in the spring when the wind blows from the east, you're going to have rain. And
that's typical because you got area of low pressure probably right to
yep,
our
exactly.
south.
So
yep.
then when the wind is blowing from the east, which we don't get a whole lot of east
no.
winds, but when we do, then I tell Mary, oh, gosh, going to rain. And if we don't get rain from that east wind, then I tell Mary, uh-oh, it's going to be dry because that east wind didn't bring us. That
right.
east wind didn't bring us the rain it promised.
Right.
And so it's interesting. I love that old, you know, I love some of that old gardening wisdom because there's some merit to it.
Sure.
They followed things when they didn't have, you know, some of the models. So they had to watch nature. Mm-hmm. They had to observe things. You know, you can't believe everything. You know, the old tale that if a tree has a heavy seed set, you're going to have a bad winter. Well, you know, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a reflection of what was and not what is to come. And so, you know, you have to take things with a grain of salt, too.
So, Bridget, I think we've got to get Don with us on the speaking circuit for the LRC so he can testify.
Why not?
Right? Don's so busy right now. I don't know if he has time.
well, I'm never too busy to join you folks for a good conversation.
Right. Well, Don, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Well, it's always a pleasure. I love to talk gardening.
And,
you know,
and that's what you're going to be doing this weekend.
I'm going to be gardening.
You're going to be gardening.
I love it.
And the weather should cooperate.
Yeah, you know, what I love too, you know, we're all in this together. We all learn. We all work at it together. And yeah, I love it.
Awesome. If anybody
people
has...
people can do more if they join the Master Gardening Program that he's a part of.
Perfect.
Yes. Yeah, do a little Googling. If you're interested in becoming a Master Gardener, just do a little Googling, North Dakota Master Gardener. We are taking applications now. And in a nutshell, what that is, you get a very extensive, good training. I do a little teaching in it. And then in return for that, you sign up to return back to your community. The first couple of years, it's about 40 hours of volunteer service that you give back to your community.
And Don, if anybody has any questions for you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
A great way is to email me, donald.kinzler, K-I-N-Z-L-E-R, at ndsu.edu. I never give my phone number because I'm oftentimes not by my phone. I may be on Weather and Ag and Focus.
See, there you go. There you go.
But I always love emails.
Great. Well, Don, thanks again for joining us. Gosh, we always love having you on here.
It's a pleasure.
Pleasure
to be with you guys. That's awesome.
We did get an email here saying Don is – wait, the amount of knowledge Don has is astonishing.
But we're all in this together.
There you go.
It's joint knowledge. We're all in this together.
Well, thank you, Don. Have yourself a great weekend.
It's a pleasure. And thanks everyone for listening.
All right. Don't go anywhere. We've got a quick commercial break. Then we'll be back with a quick recap of the weather. All that coming up. Just shortly. Don't go anywhere. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. 1:57 in the afternoon. Going to do a quick recap of weather. We've got some pretty decent rain shower activity going on in Lakes Country, stretching down through Barnesville and to just north of Wahpeton. Still a little light rain and sprinkle activity going on in the FM area, but that is going to be coming to an end here within the next 15 minutes. Lakes Country, it'll probably be mid-afternoon before you see that rain exit your area. So a little bit more precip, maybe a couple tenths of an inch out in Lakes Country and down to the south of the FM area. But other than that, we're looking at conditions drying out overnight. We'll clear things out. Could see some patchy frost towards morning with lows in the low to mid-30s. Plenty of sunshine Friday, Saturday, Sunday with gradual warming from the 50s on Friday to the upper 60s by the time we hit Sunday. So for Bridget and myself, I want to thank everybody for joining us this afternoon. Don't go anywhere. The number one show in the Northern Plains is coming up next, the Jay Thomas Show. Have a great day.